Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm gonna be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
This is The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Hey guys, welcome to The Remnant. The Remnant Show is sponsored by the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group. Visit fsjjourneyman.com to review the easy-to-follow resource documents and consider starting a chapter of the FSJ Men's Group in your own parish today. And our topic for today is, what is truth? So when I think about what truth is, particularly in the context of my Catholic faith, my thought is, as it is often, drawn towards the life of Christ and his manner of conducting all things to serve his purposes. Christ's very life, I often tell my students, is the very roadmap by which we ourselves are to imitate and to measure ourselves out against the world. The answers to how we deal with the different questions and issues that life posits to us can be found by studying the life of Christ. Questions of temptation, adversity, and friendship, among many others. I want to read you now a section from a book called The Imitation of Christ, which was written in the 15th century by a German cleric by the name of Thomas a Kempis. And this is from the section Interior Conversation, Chapter 4. We should walk before God in truth and humility. Christ, my child, walk before me in truth and simplicity of heart, without pretense. Those who so walk will be shielded from the attacks of the evil one, and truth shall free them from deceivers and the detractions of evil people. If truth makes you free, you will be free indeed, and the vain words of human beings will not bother you. Disciple, Lord, what you say is true, and I pray to you, let it be done to me. Let your truth teach me and guide me, and lead me at last to eternal salvation. Let it deliver me from all evil desires and inordinate love, that I may walk with you in liberty of heart. Christ, I will teach you what is right and pleasing to me. Think about your sins with great displeasure and deep sorrow in your heart, never considering yourself virtuous because of your good deeds. Rather, reflect on how great a sinner you are, subject to the many passions which envelop you. Left to yourself, you revert to nothing, soon fall, soon are overcome, soon are disturbed and easily discouraged. There is nothing for which you can take credit, but much for which you ought to despise yourself, for you are far weaker in spiritual things than you realize. Therefore, let nothing seem great to you, nothing valuable or remarkable, nothing worthy of your praise except what is eternal. Let the everlasting truth be acceptable and regarded by you above all other things, and let your own sins and wretchedness grieve you. Fear nothing so much, blame and avoid nothing so much as your sins and vices, which ought to distress you more than the loss of all worldly possessions. There are some who are not sincere in their conduct with me, but, led by curiosity and pride to search the mysteries of God, neglect themselves and their spiritual welfare. Such people often fall into grave temptations and sins because of their pride and curiosity. So I leave them to counsel. I leave them to their own devices without my help and counsel. Dread the judgments of God. Tremble before the anger of the Almighty. Do not presume to search his secrets, but thoroughly search your own iniquities. How often and how grievously you have offended him, and how much good you might have done, but neglected to do. Some seek their devotion in books, others in pictures, and still others in outward symbols and figures. Some have me on their lips, but seldom in their hearts. There are others whose reason has been enlightened, and whose affections so purified from the love of worldly things, that they long only for the eternal, and for whom it is a great burden to be subject to the necessities of the body. These understand well what the Spirit of truth speaks in their souls. He teaches them to have contempt for the earthly things and to love those of heaven, to ignore the world and to long day and night for heaven. And I think the core lesson is that when we reach a certain point, we'll realize that the only truth that matters is the truth of God. That the truth of the world is passing, fleeting, unfulfilling, and leaves us destitute in the end if we follow that path. It might be immediately gratifying at first, but it doesn't last. Mm-hmm. He who reaches a point of true spiritual advancement learns to have contempt for earthly things and to love the heavenly things. I think that is the ultimate truth for Christian life. Guys, what do you think?
Oh my goodness. Stephen, like, you know, in the spiritual realm, you are a favored son. I know that to be a fact. And, you know, I share with my own sons all the time that, you know, the most important part of any conversation is what's not being said. So if you were to go almost to every single sentence that you read and break it down and look and discern well all that you shared, my gosh, for the intentional person, the intentional man who's listening along, go back and listen to what Stephen just said. So let's move forward. So what is truth? In this episode's intro, Rocky Balboa shares with his son in his own way how life will knock you to your knees. He starts out by saying, let me tell you something that you already know. Let's think about that for a minute. He says, let me tell you something that you already know. I say often about scratch at you in awareness, kind of on that type of grounds, all right? Knowing truth is easy and even inherent for a child of God. Truth is all around us. It is woven into nature, in the seasons, and in humanity through the breath of life. A lot said there for the intentional listener to self-examine. So what is truth? The reality of truth is that truth is revealed to us by an authority. And in seeking out objective truth in any situation, we need to discern well what authority is presenting the truth in need of our acceptance. Let's substantiate that in our first contemplation of this realization. The simple answer to find and then build upon is that in the world, truth is revealed through us, to us, through us, through the new covenant teachings of Jesus Christ. And in society, mankind gives authority to our elected officials. Scratching past the surface, in an unbiased look at our humanity, reveals that we have brought ourselves to an interpretation and perception of truth that is lacking goodwill or good intent for our neighbors. The impression of truth reflected in society no longer mirrors or even bears a close resemblance to the guiding truth that our Creator, the author of all authority, revealed to the world. Somehow over the generations, in our arrogance and pride, we have come to believe that we are smarter and more evolved than previous generations. We now think that we need not submit our free will to any authority. We have lost sight of the humility needed to see and accept the fullness of truth revealed to us by God's authority, which is imperative to peacefully govern in our physical world. That is absolutely true. You have to realize that. I mean, even if you're not completely close to the path, you have to recognize that it's through God's authority that we peacefully govern in our physical world. The many tolerant causes have now become the truth for so many of our lost souls living in and of the world. Over the generations, our civil authorities have denounced and even removed the divine origins of truth from the communities they were elected to uphold and have imposed their own personal will or situational truth upon those they govern. This form of governing has created division within many communities and has suppressed the virtues of humility, honor, and integrity within the societal posture, which is quickly taking root elsewhere through the media, perpetuating this as acceptable behavior. Could you imagine that we're at a point in life in where this type of behavior, this situational truth, there's no reflection of good, of God's will out there. Now, with generations of complacency in this accepted tolerance, many have become unwittingly emptied of good intent. And to the family of the father who does not intentionally accept and seek out the origins of objective truth, this seems to be acceptable behavior in our court of public opinion. Objective truth. If you look up the definition for that, it's when you take feeling out. You know, I've mentioned in past episodes how it usually takes us 30 years as a society to look back on something objectively, meaning without feeling, to actually see how we lived through those events. So the questions in need of self-examination are these. Number one, in a world where all authority is intentionally being taken away, how can we look to any authority for real truth? And what, if anything, do we believe? Do we believe anything? I don't think we do anymore. And number two, what authority does a father have over the family he will be held accountable for if he does not look to his heavenly father for the guiding graces found in the objective truth of our new covenant teachings, which is imperative for safe passage in his family's physical lives? What we have lost in giving up authority through unwitting tolerance over the generations has cascaded into the loss of authority of tradition, meaning the way that we hand things on. Let's think about that for a minute and think of the way that our one holy Catholic and apostolic church is now looked at by many as being an old, dead tradition. Kind of harsh, but it has to be said. Are we to believe that the universal church that our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, handed on to all of us is an outdated relic? Is this all intentional? Have we been duped into submission to living in and of the world? What happened to our all-enduring and everlasting church? Where are our brothers? As brothers in Christ, let's look to once again become steadfast in the objective truth shared in the foundational framework of our depositive faith. This is all-powerful awareness for the morally intentional journeyman and a sad reality for those living in and of this world. What do you think about that, Bill? I mean, that was a lot to put out there.
You know, first of all, I think this is so awesome that we're talking about this topic, and both you and Stephen have laid out so much. I encourage everybody that is listening right now to go back. If you're listening on the live stream or listening on the radio, go back and listen to it on the podcast version within the app or anywhere you can find podcasts, because you're going to want to pull out and listen to this again and again and again. I know that I'm going to want to listen to this again and again and again, because there's so much content packed in here. I want to point out that the title of tonight's episode, which is What is Truth, is scriptural, right? This is scriptural. It comes directly from the Bible. It is a question that in the chapter 18 of John, Pilate asks Christ. When you read this, is understand that Christ is talking about his kingship, right? He is talking about that he is the king of the world, and that those
who recognize his kingdom, recognize the truth, right? And he's trying to get Pilate to see this. What happens is Pilate succumbs to the pressure of the world, right? And he ultimately succumbs to those saying, he goes, hey, I find no guilt in this man. But the world overcomes him and screams, no, release Barabbas instead. And what does he end up doing? He releases Barabbas instead. And so we need to understand when we encounter the truth that this is all about accepting the lordship of Jesus Christ, right? And so when we accept the lordship of Jesus, what does that look like? It means submission to the truth. And that's uncomfortable in our society today because people want to take away the absolute truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. He does not say, I am a way, I am a truth, I am a life. No, that's not what he says. The, meaning the only way, right? And the only truth. So when we hear in our society, people and in particular people in authority say things like we cannot mistake absolutism for principle, we on the surface might think, oh, that's a benign statement, or it might be even acceptable to us. It's not, though, because those four words suggest that we should reject absolute truth, right? Furthermore, it's saying that the principles, which are beliefs that beckon action, that's the definition of a principle, right? It beckons action. We should we choose to live our lives by those principles, that they don't affect others, right? Well, so you can accept this truth in your life with the lowercase t, and I can accept that truth in your life, and they're never going to overcross. That is beyond ridiculous to even think about, right? Here's a quick example. Imagine we're walking through a garden on a spring day, and I mentioned to you how nice the green leaves look. And in response, you say, I don't see any green leaves. That's because you've decided that you're going to substitute the word red for green now. You're now looking for red, and I'm looking for the color green. We have gotten rid of the absolute. And because you're really looking for the red to make any semblance of sense, you now have to explain to me that you are calling red green and green red. And that is, you have to give me some bogus explanation, right? This is what's going on in our society. This is what's happening constantly with the rejection of absolute truth. Either Jesus is Lord or he's not. Either he's Lord of your life or he's not Lord of your life. And we have to begin to understand this. We have to begin to look at this as with clear eyes and be able to lead people through what is being thrown out all over the place, right? Yes, it gets much more complicated when we begin to go beyond the color spectrum into more morality issues, right? But the reality is either these things are right or these things are wrong. Absolute truths, you don't get a vote. It's not a democracy on what absolute truth is, right? The only choice you get, and that's, by the way, that's out of the unconditional love that God gives you, is acceptance or rejection. You can accept the truth, or you can reject and deny them, but you can't change them, right? And that is really hard to say, but that is what the truth is. Fathers need to listen and recognize that Christ is who he says he is. And that's what the whole debate about what is truth in the Gospel of John is all about. So I encourage you to read that this week, but right now we've got to go to a short break. We'll be right back here on The Remnant. I'm Bill Snyder with Ray Haywood and Stephen Thomas.
Hello, my name is Ray Haywood, and I'm coming to you today to talk to you about the book that I wrote, Tools to Ready the Journey, A Father's Guide to a Faithful Family. This book can be purchased anywhere, but you could also go to the website of trjfathersguide.com, where you will gain access to the resource documents, the chapter podcasts, as well as the social media platform links of Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. This book has two audiences. The first audience is for the younger man. That's the title of the book, Tools to Ready the Journey. The second audience is for the older man. The subtitle of the book, A Father's Guide to a Faith-Filled Family. That's for us to find value in the tools and awarenesses that are shared and hand them on to that next generation of leading men. As men, we need to understand that we cannot do this journey alone. I hope that this scratches at you an awareness and ignites your heart to visit that website of trjfathersguide.com.
Welcome back to The Remnant on the Carolina Catholic Radio Network.
Okay, welcome back to the Remanage Show, The Remnant. And the saint that we picked this week is Saint Athanasius. Saint Athanasius was raised in a pagan family, converted to Catholicism, and worked for Bishop Alexander of Alexandria during the Arian controversy, a series of disputes over the nature of Christ between Bishop Alexander and Arius. Arianism taught that Christ was a creature like us, not like God. This is all playing out around and at the Council of Nicaea in the year 325. This is where the Nicene Creed comes from, that we proclaim and recite together at Mass. When Bishop Alexander dies, Saint Athanasius becomes bishop and fights hard in the face of adversity to hand on the truth of the Trinity, that Jesus is divine and co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. So on this topic of what is truth, Saint Athanasius preserves and hands on the best example of objective truth that there is. Wouldn't you say, my brothers? I mean, the Trinity? Is there anything more truthful to us in our faith?
It's absolutely central. And I think particularly with Athanasius, the key to understanding him contextually is that at the time, you know, in the period leading up to the council, most bishops actually were or leaned towards the Arian belief. They were sympathetic to it. Of course, we now know that it's heretical because it does precisely that. It denies the divinity of Christ as one of the persons of the Trinity. But it was through his resoluteness of will and his unwavering faith in God that Athanasius was able to allow the orthodox belief, the belief of right practice, to prevail. It serves as the timeless proof that in times of adversity, God will always raise up saints to hold the banner of truth aloft. Bill, your thoughts?
You know, you guys do such an amazing job of really laying out why St. Athanasius is really, you know, that father of orthodoxy, right? And I want to point to one of his quotes that I just think is really pertinent. He says, "You cannot put straight in others what is warped in yourself." And this really is so connected. You know, oftentimes we forget the saints had struggles too, right? Like Saint Athanasius was a guy born with original sin. He made it to heaven. He's a saint now. But the reality is that he struggled too. And he recognized that. Especially in this quote, "You cannot put straight in others what is warped in yourself." So we have to unwarp ourselves. And we're talking about truth. The thing that unwarps us is getting closer to the truth, right? We've got to come close to the truth. That's what St. Athanasius is challenging us to. That's what he did in his life, right? Through defeating the Arian heresy, he moved people closer to the truth. He did that, but he's also calling us again. He's a person that we call a saint so that we can emulate his lifestyle, right? That's the whole idea, that we venerate and emulate his lifestyle. And so how do we unwarp ourselves? That might lead me right into my remanded challenge for this week. One of the things that maybe you recognize as warped in yourself, those sinful inclinations, the concupiscence, to use the big fancy church word for you, right? What are those things, those weaknesses, where you need to draw yourself closer in your relationship to the truth? Remember
discovering and drawing closer to the truth is not an instantaneous happening. It is a lifelong process. Pilate asks Christ, what does it mean to make Jesus Lord and King over your life? What is truth, right? And it is at that constant discovery process, but recognizing that he is Lord over your life, is that place to start. And then draw closer to it and make him Lord over every area of your life. So what are those areas that are warped? Think about that this week. As you go through your journey this week, think about those things and then allow yourself maybe to pick one area that's out of line, warped, you don't like about yourself, and bring it closer to the truth. Bring it to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, here it is. Stephen, what is your Remanent challenge this week?
Man, that was just wonderful stuff. And what I want you to do this week is reflect on those areas where you are particularly vulnerable. Like Bill said, we're all concupiscent. We all have particular vulnerabilities. Perhaps we end up habitually confessing them. Those are our vices. They can differ from different people, but they all have that same root of choosing sin over God. This can be in your spiritual life or in your eating habits or in getting to bed on time, putting the phone down, anything. I want you to have a real reckoning with yourself and ask yourself what it is, what that truth is that you need to start holding yourself to. What truth about yourself do you need to cultivate a true spirit of resolution about? Now, in confession, we are absolved of our sins, but we have a duty. We're charged to go forth and sin no more, to have a firm purpose of amendment. It means nothing if you don't change your ways afterwards. So go have a reckoning. Change your ways. Ray, I'm sure you've got a great challenge for us.
Well, my Remanent challenge this week is to challenge all of our brothers listening along to work hard at separating their spiritual lives from their physical lives and find the objective truth in both, and then mesh them back together toward navigating well, working out your salvation. Now, my brother Bill and my brother Stephen probably heard me say this many times, and I'm repetitive in this one area because I feel as though it's so important. We need to be successful at separating our spiritual and our physical lives in order to know where our placement is in both, so that we can truly successfully mesh them back together and then navigate well. So what I'm suggesting here is not an easy task. It will take a lot of effort to be able to successfully separate these two realms. I assure you that if you place effort into this intentional task, you will no longer find yourself living in and of this world. You'll find clarity and truth in all of the situations that you face. Your good decisions will lead to the good results needed to build up the character within that will fortify you as you move forward and lead well the family and community that touches your life. Steadfast and unwavering will become your resolve. As sure as the seasons and the breath of life, what I am sharing and scratching at with you here, you already inherently know. It's amazing how much we really truly know that we just need somebody to scratch at and bring forward for us to recognize, just like Rocky Balboa says, I'm going to tell you something you already know.
Awesome stuff. Oh my gosh. Well, this was amazingly fun episode. And I encourage again people to just follow, friend, like us on social media, folks, because there's so much more than just a radio show here. We have a community for you on that social media. Reach out to us, theremnantshow@gmail.com. Share your thoughts with us. But we have to go now. Until next week, may God bless you and your families.
Thank you for joining The Remnant today. For more information about us, email theremnantshow@gmail.com. That's theremnantshow@gmail.com.